You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you.
Why did you pick this song, Tim?
Because it's fun.
But
there's just that one reference to inebriation.
You know,
the rest
I get
really
in enough
hilarious.
Trouble for saying normal things. And then here you come along on my show. What were you doing last week? Swearing in French?
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
And now you're just playing songs about getting drunk?
Well, you were trying to be gangster earlier with Booyah, and that kind of got us
in
trouble.
That didn't work. Folks, after seven seasons as host of Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show, it's a miracle I'm still here. And most of that is to be blamed on Tim the Tool. But I announced to my listeners when I was interviewing Ravi Zacharias that I am no longer convinced there's a God. And some people have said, thank you for being public about that. And other people have said, shut up and please go away. So what I decided to do was ignore the latter group and stick with the first group and do a public search for God. For God. From now until our Christmas show on December 18th, well, actually, some things are going to change there. Got some big news to announce later. But anyway, I have been speaking to a variety of prominent people during each show, asking them why they believe in God and if they've ever had a legitimate personal encounter with Him. And I realize the word legitimate is condescending and rude and potentially arrogant, but I don't care. Last week on our show, saying all the right things, our very, very good friend, Kathy Lee Gifford. And boy, did we get a lot of emails about that. All the people who were worried about my faith emailed and said, listen to her, she said all the right stuff. Now, about to say all the wrong stuff, is Delilah.
Yeah, I didn't hear your show with Kathy, but what a dynamic woman she is. Oh my God, I love her.
How are you, my dear?
I'm awesome.
You always are. Have you ever had a show, you know, Delilah, you know, like late night with After Dark with Delilah on the street corner, whatever the show is called? Have you ever had a show where you've been just down and really negative and pessimistic, kind of like me?
Not on the air, no.
No.
I certainly have that off the air, but on the air, you know, I go in the studio, I close the door, the world melts away, and it's my happy place, you know?
Hmm.
I'm in control. I'm in control of my microphone. I'm in control of my buttons.
That's every...
I have my own little teapot. I'm in control, so of course I'm happy.
That's every woman's happy place, when you are in control.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's when I step out and everything goes, you know, to hell in a handbasket, and I'm not in control, that I'm not happy.
Do you know how many people really like you? Like, that you have... Do you have a cult following? Do you have like creeper fans? What are they called, Delilahites or something?
I do have creeper fans. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I actually have two in jail right now, if you want to know the truth. Yeah, because there are people who suffer from schizophrenia, mental illness, and they think that I'm talking only to them.
Oh, yeah.
On the air, and they decode what I say.
That's how I feel.
That's all. So that is creepy. But,
hold on. Are they in jail because they were creeper fans or because of something else?
No, they're in jail because they're creeper fans.
Oh,
and they were stalkers,
sorry.
And they violated restraining orders. And
oh,
so yeah, so now they have to go bye-bye.
Sorry, I laughed at that. I thought that, you know.
And you know what's really sad
what?
Is even though they're in jail and even though, you know, they're clearly schizophrenic and clearly need to be on medication that would stabilize them.
Yes.
So they could, like, live a normal life. Our penal system will lock them up and throw away the key, but will not get them the help they need for mental health.
Yeah, that's
so that
nice.
They get the treatment they need so that they won't be creeper fans.
Yeah, well, there's nothing new. That, I mean, that's the same thing in our country. Same thing here. So,
anyway. Crazy.
Crazy. Delilah, speaking of crazy, do you really believe in a God?
I really do believe in a God, Drew, with every fiber of my being, more than I believe in you.
Jeez.
More than I believe in me, more wow. than I believe in, you know, the air that I breathe. I believe there is a, not just a God, but a loving God. And it's easy to believe, you know, there's a higher power, but I believe that he, it, she, the being that is, that created all that is and all that ever will be, is loving, is just pure love.
Okay, so the natural follow-up question, if you and I met for the first time, is, other than really, the follow-up question is, why? Why do you believe that there's a God? There are a variety of people who are in a variety of states of spiritual health or spiritual existence, okay? Some people are, you know, have the halo around their head, and some people are very...
That clearly is not you.
No, nor is it you, Puddin. Maybe you said that. And Kathy Lee, you know, she's got a tilted halo, but she's a real person. I've spoken with holy rollers. I've spoken with scientists. I've spoken with theologians. And now it's your turn, okay? And the reason I wanted to have you on the show is because you are one of the most real human beings I have ever met in my life. Now, along with that comes a whole whack of mess, right?
A whole whack of mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because life is messy, and when you live in it fully, it's messy.
Right.
And loving God doesn't, for me, mean that there's not a whole lot of mess. For a lot of people, it means you have to clean up your mess, or you have to lie about the mess, or deny the mess, or pretend it doesn't exist. But for me, it means that I got an amazing God that gets me through this whole lot of mess.
Okay. Have you ever encountered God? And you and I have talked about this. So are you going to tell me the horsey story, or is there another? Is that your best one?
That's my favorite one. That's my most, where I knew that I knew that I knew that was just what it was.
Right.
You know, but there's been a thousand of them. I mean, one of my favorites, I don't know if I ever shared with you, is I was on the air in Philly, and when I'd get off the air, there was a Wawa at the bottom of the hill where the radio station was. It's a chain, like 7-Eleven, only much better. And I would stop there sometimes to get gas, but usually to get soft pretzels, because Philly has, like, the best soft pretzels in the world. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, that's what a woman needs. Just some carbs there.
Yeah.
So I stopped at my Wawa, and I was on E. I mean, I was on E, and I had an SUV at the time. So when you're on E in an SUV, you're on E. And so I went down the hill, and I stopped, and I pulled up to the pump. And I went in to get my pretzel, and there was a stalker, a creeper, in there, and... clearly, really creeping me out, saying really inappropriate things, and followed me up to the counter, and I was so nervous and so scared, I forgot to pay for gas. So I just kind of ran out my car, jumped in my car, started the engine, and hopped up on the Schuylkill. And now, once you get on the Schuylkill in Philadelphia, there's no way off. It's a road that, you know, the next exit's like 7 miles.
Right.
And after I got on, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm out of gas. And I'm looking in my, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm looking in my mirror, and I see lights behind me, and I don't know if it's creeper or what, so I'm just praying, God, you know, get me to the exit safely, and don't let him be behind me. And please
don't let me run out of gas.
Yeah, and this isn't just a, you know, a creepy-looking guy in the store. This is somebody who knew me by name, you know, because of the radio thing, and this was long before I had a cell phone, and so I'm in the car. Please, God, don't let me run out of gas on this highway and be, you know, in the headlines tomorrow. So I look down my car, the light's on, it's on E, I make it to the exit. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. So I get off the exit, and there's headlights behind me, and I'm like, I don't know what he's driving, because I was so scared I didn't look. So I'm like, okay, God, I'm not going to stop now that I'm off the exit. I just need to get to the main line. If I can get to the main line, there's restaurants and stores and stuff there that are still open, and I'll be safe. So I'm driving, and normally if I drive like 1 mile in this SUV without gas in it, it's gone.
Right, right.
And by now I've gone like 10 miles, and I'm still going, and I get to the main line, and I'm safe, but I'm still scared, and I'm like, God, just get me home. Please, God, get me home. And my house was about 5 miles away, so rather than stop, I drove, and I made it home. And my house was on a really steep hill, so even if I had made it to the bottom of the hill, there's no way I'm going to go up a steep incline with no gas in my car.
But, yeah, I mean, there could have been some technical error in the car with the gauge.
But this is the – yeah, right. This is the beautiful thing. I'm at the bottom of the hill thinking, okay, it's a mile-long hill. Do I go up? I look down, and the gauge said a quarter tank of gas in my car. And I'm like, I don't know how that happened, but I'm going to go for it. So I made it up the hill. I made it into my parking lot. I made it into my house. I made it into bed. I'm, like, shaking and crying, and I tell my husband at the time, you know, what had happened. I went to sleep. The next morning we get up and go out, and the car won't start. It is dry as a bone, will not start with gas. But I made it the 15 miles to my house on an empty tank with Creeper Man following me.
Wow. Wow. That's all. That almost is cause to throw in a Hillsong CD. Almost.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost. But my favorite story, and I shared with this one with you, is I have a place down at Ocean Shores. And in the summer, I take my horses down there so that I can just ride like the wind on the beach. And I love to just kick it into high gear and ride like a bat out of hell and just go nuts. So I'm racing down the beach, and I'm looking at all the beauty, and I'm just thanking God for everything. And the horse is pretty worn out, so we kind of slow down, and we're just trotting down the beach. And I see up in front of me, probably 100 yards in front of me, riding in the sand. So I kind of ride up to see who's written what. And at the time I said, God, I love you, Lord. I love you so much. Thank you for my body that I can ride horses and my horses that I can ride horses. Just thank you, God. I love you. And I look at the writing in the sand, and it's a big heart that says, I love you. And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. Somebody's in love. And then I noticed that there were no footprints anywhere near this heart with the I love you in the sand.
Come on, the tide washed the footprints, right?
No. I mean, the tide was nowhere near it. It wasn't close to the water. It hadn't come in or gone out. I'm telling you, I took a picture of it on my cell phone so that I could save it for all posterity, because when I looked and I noticed there were no footprints, because I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And then I just felt in my spirit, God said, no, I love you.
Yeah.
And I looked again and I went, whoa! And I just sat there and cried, and it's just like, wow, he wrote that just to me. Not to you, because he loves me.
Yeah, apparently. Right. I was just hoping for an email, you know, something simple like that. That's unbelievable. That's a chill story. That's up the spine,
yeah,
story, right?
And I kid you not, it's as God is my witness. I took a picture of it. I can dig it up for you someplace. But that was my, you know, moment where there's no explanation. I was raised on the beach. I've spent my whole life on the beach. I know the beach. A human person did not write that.
Wow. So if you ever got yourself into a position where I'm in right now, God forbid you ever find yourself in the dark night of the soul, would that moment, the sand story, the love letter in the sand, would that sustain you?
I don't know. You know, I had a lot of miracles happening, including the running out of gas story before I lost my mom. But when my mom was diagnosed with brain cancer, I believed in my spirit that God said he was going to heal her. And I had confirmation from all these Christians that, you know, she's going to be healed. She's going to be healed. And I was so convinced that God was going to heal her that when she died, I would not let them come and take her body. I was completely and totally convinced she was going to rise up off the bed and be healed. And, you know, 2 hours later, they had to pry me off her cold body. And I went through a dark period of the soul. And I don't know if, like you, where you're at right now, I actually questioned God's existence. I questioned God's goodness.
Right.
And I questioned my ability to hear him or discern when it was him. And because I, you know, it wasn't like my heart wanted it so bad I believed it. I mean, I believed it. And every time I'd open up the Word, every time I'd play Bible roulette and, you know, stick my finger in the Bible, there was more and more confirmation that, yeah, this was going to be one of those miracles and she was going to be healed. And I had a woman call me on the air out of the blue, had no idea what I was going through, because mine is not as yours is in a spiritual show where we talk of these things. And she said, you know, I just felt like God was prompting me to call you and tell you whatever's going on in your life. You know, it's going to work out. It's going to be okay. And everything is going to be fine. You know, just things like that that just spoke to me. That convinced me that God was going to, you know, take the cancerous tumor out of my mom's head. And so I went through a long period, probably a 2 or 3 year period after Mama died, where I was just numb.
So how'd you get out of that? I'm sorry. That's my last question. Honestly, that's my last question. How'd you get out of that?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. It didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like I had an epiphany or you know, I saw the love letter in the sand or anything like that. It was just, I guess, I slowly accepted that God is so big and so vast, and there is no way for me to understand his ways. And you know, maybe I didn't hear him. Maybe I hear him now. Maybe I don't. All I can do is the best that I can do. You know, it certainly humbled me. No longer am I going to go around declaring or making statements like I did when Mom was sick.
Yeah.
God's going to heal her. Just you wait and see. You know.
Oh, man.
I've certainly been humbled, but, you know, I don't think it was something that happened. I think it was just a process of God healing my heart and saying, yeah, I know you don't get it. And, yeah, I know that, but that's okay. You don't need to get it.
Folks, Delilah is who we've been chatting with. She has been our Drugal guest for the day. If you don't know what Drugal means, it's basically my search for God. I'm going through a crisis of faith, and I'm asking people whom I think are worthy to answer this question, because I've had a lot of people offer advice.
See, here's what I would do, Drew, if
yes.
I were you.
Yes.
Is instead of asking those of us like Kathy Lee or myself who, you know, might be a little more recognized, what you need to do, and what I would invite you to do, and I would love to do this with you, is you need to come to Africa, and you need to come to the refugee camp, Buddhaburum, where I work. And you need to sit with a 15-year-old girl who's just given birth to a baby that was the product of rape, who has no home, no food, no water.
Yeah, how's that going to help me with the God thing? I'm just going to look up in the sky and be even more ticked off.
And you're going to, and then you need to say, tell me why you believe in God. Tell me why you have faith. And when you see and hear and touch people who have nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing except this most amazing faith and this unbelievable relationship with the God that sustains them, then, you know, maybe...
That might resonate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because nobody can convince you.
No,
Nobody can argue it or present it or explain it. But when I started working in Africa and I met these people that, you know, have no limbs, no legs because they were blown off in landmines in the Civil War, and with their bare hands, they toss themselves up in the air, rejoicing and praising God. Hmm. That's like, okay, I want some of that.
Yeah.
I want a whole lot of that. Because that is what I need, not a sermon.
Well, and that's why people have said to me over the last few months, well, Drew, be careful what you ask for because, you know, you might get your arms blown off or your child may get killed or something really gnarly
well,
might
happen. That's sick.
Well, that's kind of what you're saying.
Whoever would say that is sick.
But that's what you're saying.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying instead of asking those people that you think, you know, for whatever reason are... you know, experts or knowledgeable or whatever we are.
No, you are people whose opinions I respect.
Okay, whose opinions you respect? Because you know me well enough to know.
I don't respect anything else about you.
Just respectable about me. But no, I'm not suggesting for a heartbeat that you experience hardship or that. And I think that people who say that might happen to you are sick and twisted. You know, it's like when my dad lost his eyesight and a lady who was an elder in the church came to my mom and said, well, I wonder what kind of sin he committed to cause this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you say things like that? How can people be so stupid? No, I'm just suggesting that when you get away from the life that we are accustomed to and that is normalcy for us,
yes,
and you see people who have no reason to praise God except that he is. You know, for us, half of my relationship with God, I think half the time is based on my circumstances. Do I feel this or that?
Right.
You know, based on what I'm going through.
That's the other thing people have said to me is, oh, you know, who are you to ask this? And this is all about feeling experiential. No, what they don't understand is that for 30 years, I've lived in the side of the Jesus camp where they have enforced quite strongly into my psyche or forced into my psyche, I need to suppress all that feeling crap. So I've kind of avoided the flaming charismatic evangelical, and I don't want to become one now. I don't want to join a happy clappy church and expect a.
Yeah. I'm so glad I wasn't raised in the church. I'm so glad that I was like really a heathen and lost until I was 28.
Right.
Because I didn't have any of that crap visited upon me. I mean, my folks were sinners to the core. They were great sinners.
So it's genetic.
And so when I did come to the Lord, I got into the happy clappy for a while, and that just didn't work for me. And so, I don't have as much of that baggage.
Yeah. Oh, I got a load of it. I'll share some with you. I'll send some over.
We can use that baggage and pack it and take it someplace else.
Folks, Delilah.com is the website. Can you give us a quick, just a real quick, what's going on in your professional life there, Miss Syndicated Radio Star?
Well, I am loathing Arbitron and their crazy new methodology of testing the ratings. So that's my new quest. But in my personal life, I just adopted another kid.
Which makes how many now?
11.
Folks, you see what I'm talking about? Who does that?
Who does that? 11. Samuel is his name. He's a young boy that's been his whole life in an orphanage. Don't know how old he is because there's no history, no records. Before I got him, he had never set foot outside of the orphanage, not one day of his entire life. So he's now living in a foster home in Africa until we get his visa, and then he'll be home.
Wow. You are just so easy to love. Delilah, thank you.
Love you, hon.
Thank you. And we will talk soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, Delilah on the Drew Marshall Show. Now you know why her and I get along so well. Can you imagine her and I having a show together? How destructive that would be. This is from Stephanie Hall in Abbotsford, British Columbia. Former Super PK here. Preacher's kid. My husband is a former PK. His grandfather was a pastor as well. Wow. Currently, a lot of family picnics, a lot of fun and frivolity, those family picnics. Currently skipping church as I think I'm a bit, shall we say, jaded. I'm loving the honest discussions on your faith crisis. Keep it coming. I'm an avid listener in a similar spot in life as well. I'm so weary of the big box church mentality and all the guilt that seems to come with it for me. Along with all the crap I've seen both parents and in-laws deal with. We have two young daughters and are trying to figure out demonstrating our faith in community, yet not just having them be comfortable church buyer-inners. And no, a short-term mission trip is not the answer. Thanks for your candor and honesty. Thank you, Stephanie Hall from Abbotsford, B.C.
Buyer-inner. I like that.
This is from a person called Fellow Seeker.
Hmm. Weren't they a band in the 70s?
That's an 80s band. That's a bad hair band right there.
Fellow Seeker.
Yeah. They're from Canada. They would prefer not to be more specific. I've been listening through various of your Droogle episodes and felt compelled to reach out to you. I'll do my best to keep this short and sweet, which is actually, if you haven't noticed this, people, I don't read the long ones. Why? Because they're boring.
Yes. Or Tim can't see them to read them.
Okay, hold on. I'll do my best to keep it short and sweet. 2 years ago, I was a lifelong Christian. Today, I consider myself an atheist. Whoa. Or agnostic, depending on how you define the terms. This process started for me with just a tinge of doubt and a strong desire to deepen my faith, but it turned into my full-on deconversion experience. It took 2 very intense years of practically nonstop reading and thinking and thinking and reading and reading and thinking, but I committed myself early on to follow the truth wherever it might lead. No one was more surprised than I was when it led away from my Christian faith entirely. Quite a shock to the system, to say the least. If, Drew, you are sincere in your doubts, and I believe you are, and would like someone to chat back and forth with, example, recommend books, websites that will help you think through various issues. By the way, I'm not going to read anyone's book suggestions until January, because I don't want to be negotiated out of this deal that I've kind of made with God.
Remember, the fallback position is April.
We did not discuss that.
I'm just making it up now.
Wise guy.
Because that's when he was really born.
I would be more than willing to correspond. But if you're too busy or not interested, that's cool. To be clear, I'm not trying to deconvert you. I really have no interest in doing that. Meh. Merely to let you know that others have gone through what you are going through. As a skeptic said to me early on in my journey when I have reached out to him for advice, once it's in you to think, you will think. So relax, but don't stop searching until you have truly found the answers you're looking for. I wish you all the best. That's Fellow Seeker.
Nice.
In Canada. I wonder why they didn't want to be more specific. They didn't want to say their name, and they didn't want to say where in Canada. I wonder if it's someone I know. Or that the Jesus station would be, people would know.
I have no idea where that email came from.
Tim just turned shades of red. This is from Franco Mazuka in Georgetown, Ontario, home of the J-Dubs. Love the Drugal site. Heard your show on November 13th. I thought it was great. I listen when I can. I love your attitude that you bring to the show. It's real. You ask questions that your audience would ask if they had the guts. I encourage you to continue on your journey, and I and many others journey along with you. Sometimes I think I'm doing this by myself. I really do. So it's nice. I don't want to sound corny, but it is nice to hear that. That other people are tracking with this. I don't necessarily want us all to agree in everything. It's just nice to know that people are interested enough in this thing that I decided to do publicly.
Yeah. We're all journeying with you. You just don't know, right?
Because I'm adopted. I'm very sensitive to rejection. I thought I mentioned that during my stand-up gig on Thursday night at the adoption fundraiser, but apparently people missed that.
We went over really well here.
Wow. We all hunger to hear from our Heavenly Father and experience His love. Thank you for being honest and real. I greatly respect you.
Really?
Much of what Jesus did was reveal the truth behind the mask people were wearing. I think of Jesus. Sorry, I'm adding this to this, guys. I think Jesus is like a Toto. Jesus is like Toto, not the band.
Hey, I was just saying.
No, the little dog.
Yes.
Remember what Toto did?
Just followed her around.
Well, no. The part where he pulled the curtain and revealed.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Eh?
Nice.
Revealed. What was his name?
Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, I forgot the name of the movie. You are...
Only one of the biggest classic films of all time.
At least you have laid down the mask and shown the truth. You are a lot further along than most. I wish I had that killer Bible verse that would rock your world and open your eyes. None come to mind. But I'm sure that in the right time, God will reveal it to you. So thanks there, Franco Mazuka. Sounds like a drink. Doesn't that sound like a shooter?
Franco Mazuka.
I'll have a Franco Mazuka.
Yeah, going to see the Fellow Seeker show, man.
John Corbin, Milton, Ontario. Everybody's got advice. Very few have questions. I'm wrestling with how someone could follow God for 30 years and then move to a notion that he doesn't exist. Me too. To me, I figure there are parts of the journey that haven't been discussed in this narrative. I have some questions. I like this.
Mm-hmm.
Hey?
In fact, I think I know who this is.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I used to be his youth leader. If that's what I'm
thinking
about.
Tim Miller was a former youth leader of mine. I respect him greatly. Oh, so now I don't have any respect for this guy's questions.
Oh, great.
Absolutely none. Okay, here we go. In your 30 years doing the Jesus thing, in what ways has God let you down? It's okay if this is a long list. Probably best summarized by unanswered prayer and inactive involvement. Not obvious active involvement.
Okay.
So if you want to play the new math and God is subtle thing, okay, I guess he's been doing great, amazing things in my life. But and people go, oh, your life is so blessed. No, the rain falls upon the just and the unjust.
Yep.
A blessed life is not evidence of God.
Nope.
Look at Benny Hinn. Sorry.
He's been cursed with that hair. So
that's not a blessing.
Not a good thing.
In your 30-year journey, how did you react to not experiencing God? Maybe when you were expecting, I guess there's a bit of a sucky thing there. It's a bit of a, you know when you're playing games and you pray, and you know when you're not playing games and you pray. Eventually, mm-hmm. Retrospectively, you look back on things and go, yeah. So I guess, I've been frustrated with that. How did you react to not experiencing God? It's been a lonely thing. It really has. And I don't like people either, so it's really lonely.
Kind of like being the last kid picked in the baseball team.
Oh, dude, you have no idea. How much of your... you probably do. How much of your 30 years would you say that you experienced...
Ouch, I'm going to turn around.
How much of
your
30 years would you say you experienced doubt about God's existence? All. How was your experience in Christian leadership? Did you experience this current level of doubt? Yeah, but I put on a good show.
Yes, you do.
No, when I was in Christian leadership...
I meant all of the above. Sorry. C, all of the above.
If I took away the answer, show up, what do you expect from God with his Drugal search? I don't know. Man, encounter. I can't define that. I don't know how to define that. In your opinion, how does this kid in the crowded room deserve to be treated? Yeah, I have used that analogy. The kid in the crowded room can't find his father and panics and cries and screams. And someone said to me, oh, you're going to find out after the end of this that God has been right beside you this whole time. And you just can't see him, right? And so the crowded room and the kid in the crowded room kind of story. In my opinion, how does this kid in the crowded room deserve to be treated? With love and respect. And how is that modeled? The father shows up. The father puts his hand on the kid's shoulder. Kid looks up and goes, ah, Dad, you're there. Okay, I can go back. I can go back now. I can do another 30 years. I can reinvest another 30 years in Jesus.
Can you spot him from the sidelines using that earlier footy analogy? Does he have to... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Yeah, as long as I see him across the room. Okay. I don't want a dog and pony show. I don't want miracles. Although they're saying if God shows up, that is a miracle. Okay, I guess I can see that.
So if God writes on the beach or something, is that enough for you? Or you need like a smack on the back of the head?
I don't know. Just some way that I can't justify and rationalize. If God does show up, describe the type of relationship you'd like to have in 2011. I don't know because I've never experienced it. I guess it would kick into a different gear. You'd think. Although you read the account of the Israelites and you go, what a bunch of morons. How many times did God show up and do some killer Shazammy stuff, and then, you, what, 2 weeks later, you doubt? What are you, new? What are you, a Jew?
With manna.
Oh, manna. Much love, Drew. I used to do college radio. I enjoy the meeting, and I enjoy the show. I'd love to sit down and talk shop. All right, we got to get through this quick, because we've got Tariq Fatah on in the next few minutes, and, boy, I've been looking forward to chatting with him. Tariq Fatah is... a broadcaster. Many of you have seen him on Michael Korn's show. You've heard him on CFRB. And he is probably one of Canada's most prominent Muslim spokespeople. Is that what we say? Although he's very liberal and a lot of the Muslims aren't. They're not like
him. Some people don't like him as their spokesperson.
That's Lance Armstrong. He's a spokesperson. Charlie Galea from Brampton. I was just listening to your show with Kathy Lee G, and I just wanted to thank you for your honesty about your faith situation. Kathy said one very important thing to you today. Just one. She mentioned that we need to believe in the small miracles. I'm a 60-year-old man on my journey. I experienced both, but I need to tell you that I never listened to your show, but by God's chance, I pushed the wrong button in the The radio scan.
Get all our listeners.
Yeah, the radio scanned on the 1250, and here I am writing you this email. This is no coincidence. I just wanted to let you know that this is your desert experience, which we all experience. Even Mother Teresa had these moments, so please try to persevere and don't give up hope. Having such a friend like Kathy Lee Gifford is a gift from God to you. Yes, I would agree with everything Charlie said from Brampton.
Which, interesting, goes back to answers one of John's questions about seeing those little moments of God in your life, yes or no.
Yeah. Brad from Westlock, Alberta says, thanks for taking an honest, skeptical look at Christianity and its claims, Drew. Hearing an old friend, Emily, on your show this week got me hooked, and I have now subscribed to your podcast. A high honor, I know. Yeah, I wouldn't be so sure. Good luck in your search for good evidence, and if you don't find it, I want you to know that life is pretty good on the atheist side of the fence, too.
Ooh.
And then I got a really long one from Judith, which I'm not going to read because it's really long. And then JT from Toronto says, so I tuned in last Saturday just as Kathy Lee Gifford was on. How many people tuned in when she was on?
Sounds like a lot of them.
I've never heard her speak prior and just know of her what I see on the news snippets, and it's usually not too positive. I was pleasantly surprised to hear the authenticity, power, and strength of her convictions and peace in her soul. And this is all with no explicit God moment as many of us want or demand. I've been searching for this as well for a long time. While I accepted the existence of God about a decade ago, I've never had the emotional connection that Kathy has. I, too, have asked for signs and miracles and have received bupkis.
Do you write bupkis?
No, he said none personally.
All right.
I summarized. Okay. This has led me to be to comfortably just move along lukewarm with the acceptance of a God as Einstein or Spinoza saw it. All powerful, but not involved in my day-to-day life. Looking back, I realize my lukewarm nature is not just in my relationship with Jesus, but in many things I have felt the need to do but haven't. I feel that I have just let my heart be hardened and have not been willing to see the various signs that God has had in my past. While I still argue with him about why he didn't heal me as I wanted or make me see the sign more clearly, deep inside I realize those are my issues and I'm just projecting outward. This guy's a very good writer.
Mm-hmm.
It was a guy, right? Wasn't it?
Yes, James something.
No, right? JT. We don't know if that's a guy or not.
Ooh.
I have been looking for ways to start a genuine walk with God, so I took Kathy's biblical advice to start each day by putting God first by reading his word. I've been good 3 out of the past 6 days. It's better than I would have done. And wanted to share a few lines from the morning's reading as they just called out to me and your situation about not feeling God. Please do thank Kathy for being a blessing and seeing God where we see where we just see coincidence or pain. I know envy is bad, but I envy her outlook and peace. And her paycheck. And really living a Christian life seems to involve a real dependence, surrender in a relationship, which I think many of us men trouble with.
There we go. JT.
Pride sucks.
It does. And cometh before a fall.
Based on the passage below, perhaps you have a yeast infection that has led to hardening.
What?
I'm just saying that's what... Anyway, lots of very, very fascinating comments. I'm inundated each and every day with lots of emails, and I'm telling you, folks, I read them all. So thank you for sending me your journeys, how you're processing. Maybe your dark night of soul, maybe you've jumped to the atheist side of the fence, or maybe you're still just totally in love with God. Maybe you've had some fantastic experience, maybe you had nothing. All of them I read and I appreciate. I just needed to say that straight up. All right, a short break on our show, and when we come back, man, this is going to be good. Tariq Fatah. Hope I'm saying his name right after all this time. Author, broadcaster, founder...
When has that stopped you before?
No, not really. Founder of the Muslim Canadian Congress. He has quite a story, and I've got a ton of questions to ask him. You've seen him on the Michael Korn Show. He is a frequent contributor to the Globe and Mail, a National Post, a Toronto Star, written for Time Magazine, and can be heard on CBC, CTV, TVO, all over the place. Some of the Muslims like him representing them, and a lot of them don't. That's who's coming up next. And then, Dr. Terry Jones, the pastor behind International Burn a Koran Day. You sensing a theme? We'll be right back.
Don't tell me it's the same old.
Marvelous. You look marvelous. You look marvelous.